Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings that remind us that we all have the capacity to hear your voice in the depths of our hearts. So help us through the grace of the Holy Spirit to be better discerning your voice and the voice of the enemy who always leads us astray. That we may grow in wisdom and not be conformed to the thinking of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds to know what is good and pleasing to you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. It's great to be with you. I left last Sunday at like 5 in the morning for this retreat, and the retreat was a tremendous blessing. I'll weave it into the homily today. But if there's one way to frame the readings today, and it's with one of my favorite scripture passages from the book of Sirach, and it's Sirach chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. It says the following: "Consider the generations long past and see. Has anyone trusted in the Lord and been disappointed? Has anyone persevered in his fear and been forsaken? Has anyone called upon him and been ignored? For the Lord is compassionate and merciful, forgives sins and saves in time of trouble." And Sirach chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. And he is merciful and saves in times of trouble, and he's always waiting to reach out to us. And we see in our first reading today, and we had this reading last week during daily mass, because I remember the priest reading and preaching about it at the retreat, but it included the paragraph before where we started today and said that at that time, words from the Lord or words of prophecy were very infrequent. So they'd been a long time from people had heard from the Lord, so they kind of were out of shape and not really knowing how to do this. So this is why Samuel, you know, at first thought it was Eli who was calling him. The third time's a charm, right? So at the third time, he realizes, hey, there's something supernatural going on here. And God is trying to initiate a relationship with you and call you to come forth as a prophet. And then, of course, we know that he became a wonderful prophet. He worked with Saul, who kind of went off the deep end at the end of his life because of jealousy and envy of David. But Samuel faithfully served the Lord as a prophet. But he began to learn that God wanted to speak with him and converse with him and give him a sense of direction and purpose. And all of us have the capacity to hear the voice of God. I think a lot of times, you know, as Catholics, we often think, well, that's for the saints, for all those, you know, professionals, you know, religious men and women or people that, you know, just spend their whole life in a monastery or a convent. And that's simply not true. All of us have the capacity to hear the voice of the Lord resounding in our hearts. And we just need to ask and be like Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I expect you to speak me today when I go in the chapel and open up the Bible. You have a word for me today, and you're going to guide and instruct me with the challenging situations I will encounter this day. All of us should come to Mass every Sunday with that expectant faith that God wants to say something to you and reach out and help you in the midst of your own trials and struggles. So we have to start there, that we all have the capacity to hear the voice of the Lord. And in your own life, do you remember a time when you really, really heard the voice of the Lord? There was no doubt, this is God speaking something to me in my life. I remember meeting a lady in Olympia, Washington, probably about 25 years ago. I was just a baby priest back then. Now I'm old and like Mr. Magoo. I just got a new hearing aid, actually. And it's been malfunctioning the entire week I've been using it. But I'm so stubborn, I'm going to try it one last time. And so it's on right now, and it's kind of odd, the sound and everything. But I remember this woman from Olympia. She worked with St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Back then it was just Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And she said she was so overwhelmed by the poverty and misery of Calcutta that she left. She just said, I can't do this anymore. This is overwhelming me. I don't want to be here. And she started away from the village or the city, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke and said, go back. She didn't want to hear those words, but she said, I never forget, she looked at me straight in the eyes and she said, I have no doubt that was the voice of God, and I was fleeing from suffering, and he told me to go back and engage. And then that opened the door to the most wonderful healing in her own life and just seeing how God was very much at work. But at first she was just so appalled by the poverty, the level of poverty there. And then God, she's on the road like to Damascus and go back. My plan is not for you to run away from this, but to engage in it. And I'll never forget that. I've never seen her again. I remember in my own life, you know, I was doing a wedding at the, of all places, a Masonic lodge in Tacoma. One of my mother's cousins was getting married and they asked me to sing at the wedding. I actually screwed up one of the songs and sang the wrong lyrics. I don't think anybody noticed but my mom, because she made a face and I saw her as I was standing in front singing it, but it was a minor error and most of it went well. But they had a huge reception afterwards. It's the first time I'd ever tasted caviar. Not a fan. It's just salty and I don't see the appeal of that. Ice sculptures, just really, really fancy reception. Somebody put a lot of bucks into that, but it was getting hot and people were drinking a lot. So I wanted to go out and get some fresh air. So I went out on the fire escape or the balcony, and I looked over the tide flats in Tacoma, and I just heard as clear as day, someday you're going to live over here and serve me as a Catholic priest. My first thought was, am I mentally ill? Eighth grade's a little early, I thought, but where did that come from? But at the same time, it brought a sense of joy. I remember thinking, wow, God has a plan for my life, and that might be it. And I just, it left a great imprint of joy inside my heart. And that was the beginning of realizing that I can hear the voice of God. And all of us can. Now, there's another challenge, is that there's also the voice of the enemy. And so during this last week, we were very much aware of the father of lies and how he lies to us. And so we have to constantly discern, you know, is this the voice of God or the voice of the devil? And the one thing that I'd forgotten is that even people you let closer into your lives and church people, like your boss, maybe the chancery staff, different people, other brother priests, they can speak lies to you and say things that are very hurtful and just rooted in lies and not part of God's plan, and they just sink your confidence and your self-esteem. And so we went back again, and I did this years ago, but I'd kind of forgotten about it, but about all the list of renunciations. I renounced the lie, you know, and for abandonment, shame, fear, pride. I announce the truth that God is with me, that I have a purpose and destiny, that I'm a child of God, that the Father loves me. There was a lot of talk about the Father's love and how much brokenness there is in our world today over that. Sister Miriam was there, and she talked about this whole toxic masculinity that people are talking about. You don't achieve healing by putting people down. And she said, your masculinity is a gift from God, and we need you to be embracing that and not be wounded in it. And just as femininity and people who are female are a gift of God too. You see how the enemy comes along and tries to put down and cause divisions? So that instead of working together and recognizing we all have different gifts, you're attacking and tearing down. He's doing a pretty good job, let's face it. You know, the media, social media, just people say some really hurtful things. So we spent time in prayer ministry renouncing those lies. And I remember one very powerful episode, and he said, what is the Lord telling you? I said, those people didn't speak on behalf of God. Even though they were officially in that capacity, that wasn't God speaking when they made those comments. It was the devil. And it just made me realize the intensity of spiritual warfare that we're always in. You can never let your guard down. One thing I forgot to say last night, because I just didn't sleep well the night before I came back, it's not just me identifying the way people have wounded me. It's also me identifying the ways I've wounded people. And specific things came up, things that came out of my mouth during Christmas that shouldn't have come out of my mouth. And so there was a wonderful opportunity for confession, to realize that it's not just you identifying all the way people, you know, stab you in the back. You do the same thing. You're a sinner too. So you always have to put those two things together. Otherwise, you're going to develop a victim spirit where you just spend your whole life, you know, complaining about people aren't nice to me and it's all about me. And we're all sinners. Amen?
Amen.
Rejoice and be glad. We have the solution, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we have to recognize that. And one of the things they said was, oftentimes, the places of our greatest brokenness that we're ashamed of become the greatest places of encounter of God's mercy and healing. And so the people were so transparent. The first night, it's like, why are you here? Where did you come from and why are you here? And there are about 50 of us there. People were incredibly transparent about things they're shouldering now in their lives, and I was really impressed. And you know, God really honored that. We weren't there to try to put on an image or a facade that, hey, I'm not a broken person. We're all broken. And God just really honored that. Even the presenters shared their own personal struggles and things in their marriages. And God just honored that. It was so nice to be in a place where just truth is being spoken. But now I'm back. and recognizing how the enemy is already trying to undo things. Yesterday was a day filled with conflict and different things not going right. And just like, you know, I should have predicted this. Because the enemy is always going to try to steal what God is doing. It's like, greater is he who's on us than he's on the world. So this morning when I woke up, I did my prayer to take authority. And sorry, that's not going to work this time. Go away, Satan. Go back where you came from. Amen? So the one thing I did Thursday morning is my prayer was kind of Psalm 51. That's a very special psalm. We pray it every Friday in the church in the Liturgy of the Hours. It's the only psalm that repeats. And that phrase, I think it's around 11 or 17, it says, give me back again the joy of salvation. Give me back again the joy of salvation. So we closed our eyes on Thursday morning, and he did an exercise. And I just started welling up with tears, and I just heard the Lord say, look what I'm doing. I'm giving you back again the joy of salvation. And you're going to need it another time and another time. But I was just overwhelmed by that. And then the second phrase of that is, so that I may teach sinners your ways. Only when we're healed can we help other people achieve healing and identify the lies of the enemy and call them to a place of wholeness. And the retreat was called Holy Desire, where you're operating out of holy desires and not, you know, unwanted needs and things in your life, but it's coming from God and it's aimed towards God and loving God and loving people. So it was an amazing week, but all of you have the capacity to hear God's voice. You're going to hear again those renunciations. When I first came back from the retreat in 2018, I was just quoting those ad nauseum. Get ready. You're going to hear those more often than not, because the enemy is lying to us a lot. And the closest people in your life can do the greatest damage. And they don't do it all necessarily intentionally. They're wounded too, so they're going to wound you. But as we experience healing, then and heal people heal, wounded people wound. Amen? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you're with us, that you love us, and that we are the Father's delight, your children of God. So we ask you to help us, cover us in the precious blood of Jesus, keep our ears open to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who always speaks truth to us and leads us into all truth, and help us always to renounce the lies of the enemy, the father of lies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.